This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning. Welcome to A Biblical Response. I'm David Francoeur, your producer, host, and the guy that gets coffee for the team when they need it. Going to introduce that team first before we go into the topic of the day. And the first and foremost, I shouldn't always go by age. but, you know.
Oh, I'm starting today then. You're going with the youngest.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the youngest. Ann Limhoko, welcome.
Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, and yeah. It's a new day, so what do I always say?
You say it.
What do I say?
You
this
say,
is the day.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Yes. So we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen,
so,
and we will, and we hope you listeners are rejoicing.
We are rejoicing here in the studio, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then down, then again, now going in that reverse order.
I'm always the middleman.
You're the middle.
I'm always the
middleman. Stephanie Jacobson.
Hello, hello. And I was waiting for Keith to be introduced because he's introducing somebody new, but I'm going to introduce somebody new today.
Wow, okay.
That I have not met yet. I have my 16th grandchild being born today.
Wow.
Oh,
hallelujah.
So
wow,
I'm sitting
fantastic.
Here with my phone on. It's not on. It's not. You're not going to hear it, but in case something comes up that... that I see that I have this baby born, and we don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet. So
oh,
it's
you
exciting.
Might have news for us before
Maybe.
We close, then. Hallelujah.
Maybe.
My wife and I did that as well.
I did too.
Oh, yeah, man. We waited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to tell you what the nurse said when he was delivered.
It's a boy.
Yeah.
We know you have
son,
Keith.
Yeah. Well, no, and, but what she said was amazing. It was
and that
fun.
Brings us to welcome Keith
yeah.
Masters.
Good morning, David.
Hey,
how
brother.
Are you? How are you?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm yeah. great. That donut you brought several, but the one I had just
did.
Lifted me up.
Awesome.
Man,
awesome.
I'm telling you.
The sugar rush, we love it.
Watch
sugar
out for
rush,
that.
That's right.
I'm going to say yeah. to our audience that we should not advocate for that, but no. for donuts, but
no.
go ahead.
Well,
no, but it's okay.
yeah, maybe so. Christians should eat more donuts because they're holy.
Oh,
yes.
What do you
boy.
Think?
Oh,
maybe
nice.
Not.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Stephanie grabbed her head.
What they don't see in the studio.
I know. Well, yeah. one day we're going to have cameras in here. That's yeah. part of the long-term plan.
So I was going to say good morning to a new listener, hopefully, I believe.
Would you?
Yeah. We were. I was at the driving range yesterday with my son, and it's the first time that a cart person, we were at the driving range, and it's the first time that a person in the cart drove around who's got all the refreshments,
the beverage cart.
The beverage
yeah.
cart. Thank mm-hmm. you. That was the word. And she came around to the driving range, and I got my son a drink, which was great because it was a warm day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes,
you
it
know,
was.
We were both sweating off of our bald heads, off of my bald head. But turns
just
out.
Just imagine the image it comes to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, yeah,
go ahead. Go
I
ahead.
Was wearing my hat. It says faith, and it's in the sign of a cross in the front. And she recognized the hat, and she said, she liked the hat.
Mm.
And it turns out that she was a believer, and she knows Jesus, and we just started talking. And it's amazing that it's the first time that it happened
mm-hmm.
where she came up to the driving range, and all of a sudden we start talking about the Lord. So that was
cool.
pretty crazy.
Yeah.
yeah, pretty cool.
So I hope she's listening
name?
Today.
Her name is Jasmine. So,
Jasmine.
Yeah, she goes to
man.
FAU University.
Welcome, Jasmine.
Wow,
yeah,
welcome.
She goes to FAU University.
Yeah.
And she had a class up until about 10:50, so she said she was going to try and make it. We don't know, but.
Well, hopefully
yeah, we hope
she
she's
will.
Listening. Yeah.
Well, and I'm just going to start us off and tell us where we're going to be going. But before I do, you know, you can call in. This is a call-in program. The station number is 772 221 772-221-1100. Let's write this down if you can. 772-221-1100. Before you call, give us time to either excite you or anger you, though, okay? Let some of the contents flow out before you do that, but we'd love to hear from you either way. Normally, we would start with the news, something that's in the news, and we'd work through the biblical lens to help us understand what the Bible says, how we deal with that. Reversing the process today, we're going to start with where we normally end up, which is in the much broader frame of what scriptures are telling us, what God is speaking, saying to us. So without any further ado, I'm just going to ask Stephanie to get us going on that.
Yes. Well, for those of you who are listening, I just appreciate, let me just say from my heart, that you're here. And we want to thank you for tuning in today. This is kind of a different programming. And I just want to say that it's an honor to bring this opening today, but I present it with much humility. This is not something that I came at lightly. And so I feel that I have been in training for this all my life. And as the years stack up behind me, it seems that the subject intensifies. It doesn't go away. It's something that becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. We came to an agreement in our planning time that was last Friday. It was a little different. We usually do it on Mondays, but because of the holidays, that because of the unimaginable grief and the unexplainable reason for our news subject today, that before we dive into the headline, we're going to talk about what we believe is the only starting point that is possible to even talk about these subjects, and that is the holiness. It's not just any holiness, but the holiness of God. And for some of them, people out in our listening audience, this might be just a reminder for them to go back to the holiness of God. And for some, it might be their first time to ever really encounter this way of thinking. And so I'm not coming at this opening, and we're going to discuss this afterwards. So I'm not the all to end all on this. This is just me getting you ready for what the discussion is going to be. But we don't, I don't have all the answers. God is the only one that has all the answers, but we just want to bring this today with humility and comfort, actually, as we go through. This is not condemnation, it's not condemning, but it's a comfort that he is holy. Why is the holiness of God, and this is kind of a rhetorical question, I'm going to answer it, so you can answer, guys, if you want to, but why is the holiness of God so important for us to put in the correct place in our everyday lives? Because we have so much in this life that is not only wrong, but it is hard to understand or fathom, and yet it happens. And I'm not even talking, and I said this earlier, about our news headline. I'm talking about my everyday life, the everyday Christian or the everyday person. Why is it important that we see holiness as being the starting place? If the Christians in the church do not put holiness of God at the forefront of everything we think and say or do, then we're starting at the wrong, we're already at the wrong starting point, and we'll miss our mark in our own life and in helping others. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to give you an example that I hope this translates, okay? If I took someone, or if we took someone and plopped them down in the middle of the United States somewhere, anywhere in the United States, not telling them, we're not going to tell our radio audience, anybody, where they're starting from, and we told them to go to New York City, maybe I even give them a compass, okay? They know north, south, east, west. But I didn't tell them where they were starting from. They would start walking north, south, east, or west in a direction, guessing as they went. And if it was wrong, they'd have to begin again with a different, when they figured out, oh gosh, this is the ocean, I got to figure out which direction I'm going. So maybe they were in California, but it looked like Florida. So now they're on a coast somewhere, but they don't know which coast they're on. Are they on the east coast of, or the west coast of California, or are they on the west coast of Florida? They don't know. They just know they have to go north or south. or they don't know. There's no direction. They'd have to find a strategy and an adjustment, which would be kind of unfruitful and discouraging. Do we see discouragement today because we don't know the holiness of God?
Mm.
So in this Christian walk, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more, but in this Christian walk, we do have a North Star.
Amen.
We often think that the cross is the North Star. And to an unbeliever, it is, because that's the first thing that we want them to recognize, that the depravity of their own sin. We want them to know the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
But how they know that is the way, what he did for us on the cross, right?
Yes.
So we often think that that cross is the North Star, but his holiness is the starting point for the cross to even exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because the holiness existed before the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So as we look to the cross, it's really we're looking through the cross to the Father and what God did. So here's two more questions to answer, and it's kind of rhetorical again. So what is the holiness of God, and what part should it play in our life as a believer? All right, so there's three things in the church that we talk about in churchese, or whatever you want to call it, Christianese, three main ways, and God does talk about these. We describe God as omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, omnipresent, all present. And we could set those three words aside all day and never come to the end of scripture about how those things exist in our life and how it guides our life. And, you know, even those are things we don't always understand, though, right? So we kind of put that as a mystery of God. But there's a fourth part to it, and it's the sovereignty of God. And that kind of wraps around all of it. Sovereignty of God, I look at the sovereignty of God as my cousin and I were talking about this, like a great river. And the real choices we make in real time is like the sediment carried along that river as we make those choices. So the sovereignty of God, this is God's got the river going. He is God, right? The holiness of God. And as we make these choices, downriver is where these people will either have blessing, or it will carry God's holiness with it, or it won't. Mm. And so we do make these choices, but the holiness of God is what we should be looking to in order to make these choices. So here are some attributes from the Word. I'm going to bring the Word into this because I don't ever want to leave that out.
Mm-hmm.
This is just examples, but in Psalms 103, it says, He forgives all your iniquity, heals your diseases, crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, works righteousness and justice for all those who are oppressed. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger. High as the heavens are above, so great is his steadfast love. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So I just picked out a few of those. But I want to read the next verse, because this is the contrast of the holiness of God. For he knows our frame. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. So you have the holiness of God, and then you have a piece of dust. That's who we are. Okay? Now we know, as we go forward, that living in the holiness of God gives us, we become his children. We become, you know, and all of that. We can go into all, but the problem is that piece of dust is not a popular theology today. We don't want to look at who we truly are in that concept of holiness, especially, and if I can use the terminology, competing with today's movements, whether it's an influencer movement or a Me Too movement or LGBTQ movement, we all start at the wrong point in life. We're all dead in our trespasses and sin, and that is why we need a Savior. And his holiness begs to reckon with why we need the Savior.
Mm.
Not because of our sin, but because of his holiness of God. Yes, our sin He existed before sin, and I said that earlier. Sin is, and here we go, I don't want to use this word, but I'm going to use it. It's a tool to show us the need for a holy God and Savior and the sacrifice of the cross. Not that we should sin that grace may abound, but it makes it so much more beautiful when we come to the foot of the cross that we see what God has done for us. And that is where the hope, joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control, which we all know is the fruits of the Holy Spirit, comes from the Father above, which flows through Jesus and Holy Spirit. And all of these fruits are never-ending supply to us as He as we see Him holy and follow Him. So if we know Him as our personal Lord and Savior, we can know His holiness and our separation from Him because of His holiness. First and foremost, we live in humility and love for Him that will be a light to others.
Stephanie, that's beautiful.
I love that, the way you played it out. It was very nicely ordered, too, I must
say.
That
was Holy Spirit.
That was Holy Spirit. And just as we do like to reference tools,
of course,
as we're sharing this, and as you were speaking, there's a Christian author, A.W. Tozer. Some people know who I'm talking about. Some people don't.
Yes. I'm holding one of his books.
You're holding one of his books.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
It's called The Knowledge of the Holy.
That's the one I was going to talk about.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Because that was the first book a friend of mine had read him.
Wow.
And that book was one that he reads like once a year, right? Because first of all, it's approachable material. He writes very clearly, but it's all biblically sound.
Yeah, yes.
And theologically correct. And so the holiness of God and what he does is he presents that to the reader.
Yes.
And spends a great deal of time looking at all the attributes of God that the Scripture shares with us.
26 attributes.
26, yep. And all linked to God's holiness.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend to you this book. It's still in print, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer.
I am laughing because when
I'm trying to get in here to talk about this book, and then David talks about it. So that's totally Holy Spirit.
We have about 2.5 minutes before the break. Oh. Do you want to get started on going in there? You can always return after the break.
I was praying.
Okay, well,
which we should all
praying.
Do.
I always recommend that.
we should all be doing.
We
yes.
should all be doing.
Over the weekend, we had more time to prepare. As Stephanie said, that we met to plan on Friday instead of Monday. So more time to ruminate and to process with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then my friend is like, I think I have a book that would be perfect. And I start reading this book. I have not read the whole book, but I'm going to, David. And it talks about the holiness of God. And there's a condition in the church that has permeated where we don't really look at God as who he really is. We look at him as lower than what he is. And that could affect the whole way we live life. And that's what we'll just tease, because I know we'll get more in the break.
It takes you off the mark.
It does.
It really does.
It does. And I'll remind you when I spoke about in the opener where we're going today is we're going to come back. We're giving you, again, what I said we normally do at the end of the program, a kind of a summation. But it's a spiritual summation. We're starting with that. But I think it's good to know because, you know, let's face it. I mean, we're trying – our basic vision here of this program is to inform. It's to edify.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody – I don't care who you are, how long you've been walking with the Lord, nobody knows everything they need to know.
Mm-mm.
If there's anything about my life, and I'll speak personally – it has been a walk of constant discovery of the Holy Spirit revealing to me over the years. I've been walking with the Lord almost 50 years. And, you know, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
You're still learning.
Yeah.
And there is no point, let me say this. I have to confess. In the early days of my walk, there were several strands of arrogance that the Lord had to strip off my personhood. And it always got me in trouble because, you know, I would start thinking, well, I know this. You know, I'm pretty smart, you know, and I'm, God is, And the truth is, maybe I'm smart. I don't know. That's not really the issue, but I'm constantly learning because God is constantly teaching me, and it's all in His time. It's not in mine. So when we now talk about what's going on around us in our culture and as we see it in the news, it's important that we open up to what the Spirit of God is sharing with us through whatever mechanism God has chosen to put us in front of, or so we can see,
or even what we're going
or
through,
or what we're going through,
yeah,
or for our ears to hear, so that we can get a better grip on how to understand what's going on around us and how to deal with it,
right?
And who we are. This is critical.
It
who
is.
We are in the midst of it.
Yep.
And we don't have a complete 100% understanding of who we are.
No.
That's also unfolding as we live our lives. Anyway, we'll come back to that. Let's take a little break. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu joins former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez in concert to benefit the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a charity that blesses military veterans, first responders, and their families. This is only one night at the Lyric Theater, downtown Stuart, Florida, October the 30th. For more information, tickets are available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone 772-286-7827.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back to A Biblical Response, and I hope you've been following us from the beginning, but I know some folks, they get in the car and turn us on, and they get out of the car and turn us off. So, you know, you may have heard a part of what we're saying, and maybe that part excited you. Maybe you got a little upset about it, but it helps to hear the whole thing. So what I would recommend is you go to our website, WCNO.com. On the top of the page is one of the blue oval buttons is Archives, listen, ways to listen. Click on that. You'll get our on-demand section, which will have this program in there, and you can either listen to it listen to it on the website or download it and listen to it later. Mm. And then we can get the whole program and then fully understand where we've been coming from. You can also call us if you have a comment or a question. That's 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. I'm going to throw it back to Ann.
You know, as we're talking about this topic, and Stephanie said this in her introduction, this is not like us talking to our listeners to be like, you need to do this. The things that we talk about on the radio program are for us as well. And it's such a reminder, as I was going through this book and just praying about how we're talking about such a heavy topic, I'm like, Lord, do I see you correctly as holy? And it just prodded me, and it really pressed me to grow in this area. So I'm going to go home and read this book. But if we don't have a proper view of God as holy, and this is what the introduction, the preface talks about in the book, if we don't have that concept of majesty, if we don't have that, and what the author calls the low view of God, this can be a cause of 100 lesser evils everywhere among us. And what are we seeing in today's culture? But a whole slew of lesser evils. And I'm talking about amongst people who call themselves Christian. We've talked the past couple of shows about progressive Christianity, and they call themselves progressive Christians. Are they really Christians? You can decide, or the Lord only knows. But a lot of lesser evils, or I should say evil, because evil is either, it's either, you know, it's not less or what great, has infiltrated the Big C church because we have not correctly viewed God the way we should view God. And this has infiltrated the church.
That's right.
And it has led to Christians who say they're Christian even dissing the authority of the Word of God. They will say, that's a bunch of, okay, what's the name of the Texas state rep who was on the podcast for Joe Rogan? Tallarino, right? Representative Tallarino.
Right, right,
he's going to seminary. And when he was asked about the question of, is the LGBTQ, is that lifestyle wrong? And it says in Leviticus it is wrong. But Joe Rogan goes, how do you, when you read this, how do you stomach that then? This says clearly it's wrong. And he's like, well, it's just a bunch of euphemisms coming from the Bible. If you don't even look at the authority of the Word of God, as like Stephanie said, like a North Star, the holiness of God and his word, he is the Word of God, John 1, then you will allow all these lesser evils to happen, which is happening in the church.
And it happens in our hearts every day.
Yes. We have to check ourselves, each and every one of us.
I said in the beginning, I am coming at this in humility,
it's
because there is not any one of us. And I'm saying this to, I don't want to look at you guys. I look at myself first and foremost, and I am failing it, you know, without the holiness of God.
We all are.
And so the holiness, though, is what brings that, the joy that his word does not lie. He is not the author of confusion. He does chastise his that are his. And we should be thankful when he chastises us when we have done something wrong. And we run from it. We run from it. And we don't want to, I don't want to say anything. But go back to Esther 4:14, the same thing that I talk about with abortion all the time. If you do not speak, well, why should I speak about my sin? Well, maybe it's something that someone else may be able to find a footing at the foot of the cross, or no footing, just be able to fall on the rock so the rock doesn't fall on them, right? Mm. And so that's a real place to be. And I'm not, there's a lot in that for me as a Christian. And I'm saying it without looking at any of you guys, because I don't mean it to you. As we're sitting here looking at each other's eyes, I'm thinking, I don't want you to think I'm thinking about you. I'm saying it to myself.
Yeah. I'm going to throw something in here at this point, because it kind of leads us. And I sent this to the team a couple of days ago. I got into prayer about after our WhatsApp discussion about what we're going to do today. And I was thinking, I was saying, Lord, where would I go to understand the foundational reality? In other words, the bedrock of the issue of why certain people do certain things today, either people that are, doing obviously godly things, or on the other end of that, people that are doing clearly evil things. And he... Oops, looks like we have a caller coming
let's
in.
Answer this.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Kelly from North Palm Beach.
Hey, Kelly, how you doing?
Thank you for calling.
Everybody today.
Oh, super, super. What you got?
I just wanted to call in and say I'm so encouraged. From what I understand, when I called, I was given the name of Anne, one of the co-hosts.
Yes.
I heard her speaking first, and I was so moved that I had to call the radio station.
Wow.
Praise God.
But I just want to say that, yes, we want to be humble, but the Christians that understand the line in the sand, we must speak out boldly to our brothers and sisters in Christ about the line in the sand.
Yes.
Amen.
Kelly.
Amen.
This show today.
Completely agree, Kelly.
Amen.
Yep.
That is, we were just talking off air about Esther 4:14, where it says, if you do not speak, help will rise from another place. And it doesn't mean saving a nation. It means there may be someone standing in front of you that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you don't speak, but then there is a commitment to it. If you don't, your house will be destroyed. That means that your own soul could be not destroyed, but maybe be pushed back where you can't speak. And there's nothing you can do, and then you've missed this opportunity to speak the gospel, like Keith was saying yesterday to the cart girl. If he hadn't have spoken, then he wouldn't have had the testimony to speak it on the air today. And that may seem small. It's not in the terms of eternity. It's really not. And so the boldness, yes, the boldness. I didn't get to get into that in the beginning, so I apologize for not being able to get there, but I really wanted to focus on the holiness of God, and I'm sure we'll talk more about the boldness of how we should speak.
I understand. It's so beautiful, and I understand the idea of being humble, too, and not judging. However, I think I've found in society today, with our Christian brothers and sisters of a lot of these progressive churches, everyone is afraid to say something instead of saying, look, that's wrong.
That's our culture.
So you can't wiggle.
We are 100% with you, Kelly. 100%.
But that's wrong.
Yes.
No way to move out of it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.
Okay.
Thank you,
we
Kelly.
Appreciate your
God
call.
Bless you.
Thank you for calling.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Wow. Well, that is so
from
cool.
West Palm Beach. Thanks. Praise
West
God.
Palm.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. And we're right with you. And
we've actually received calls where we're not really affirmed because they say you're talking too boldly on different things, you know. And
right, but Kelly, she's articulating really from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes,
this is God
Thank
wants
you.
His church speaking out into mm-hmm. the culture and speaking within to some of our people that have their heads in the sand.
And we haven't even talked about what we're talking about today as far as the news is concerned.
No, we'll get to that. But I want to shift back just to make the point that I was trying to make.
Absolutely.
That when we perceive what's going on in the world, we see the evil. It's very disturbing. I mean, any Christian, true Christian, gets disturbed to see the expressions of evil, to see how it's impacting the lives of the people, the ones perpetuating it, and the ones in receiving it, that are victims of it, if you will. And it constantly, I don't care how long you've been a Christian and all that, it's you're not ever going to be not frustrated and even angry sometimes. But to first understanding it, and I'm going that the Bible speaks so much about either overtly or covertly on the word identity, that who we are is crucial. Now, let me expand on that. Who we know we are, which is very different than who we think we are. How do we come to that knowledge of who we really are? Well, the Bible tells us that only occurs when we're in a relationship with God, the one who made us, who knows and had a plan for each one of us.
And it's his identity that we become.
That his identity that
yes,
he gives us.
Right.
And that we live out in the uniqueness of our own lives.
Right. And in the beginning when I was talking about the culture that doesn't, and even Kelly touched on it a little bit, the culture doesn't want us to speak out the truth of who we are because it sounds so condemning. It's not condemning. It's a conviction of what my heart is. And the cross and the blood of Jesus is what takes care of that when we come to the foot of the cross so that we can speak to the Father directly, right?
Right.
And so that's, David, I interrupted you again. I am so sorry. Identity. Get back to that because I love that.
Well, I'll try to make it brief because time does fly. But I just want to say that Every evil act comes about because a person or a group of people are working out of who they believe they are. So when, for instance,
that's good.
When we, when often what comes up in the news is LGBTQ stuff, gender fluidity stuff, all of that very clearly gets back to identity, is who they believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
where are they getting their identity from?
Where are they
from?
Getting their identity? Because it's
very
not
good.
From the Word of God.
Right.
And the Word of God is there, but it's also there has to have a relationship with God. You know, it gets down to
right.
What
and that's
is the
why we
basic.
Can, yeah, we can have comfort to give to them and have compassion for them because they don't know who God is.
This is
but it also helps us to understand why they do what they do.
Well, it goes down, and let me read this again. I apologize for because this one sentence in the preface of the book really summarizes what you guys are saying in the studio. It is impossible to keep our moral practices sound and our inward attributes right while our idea of God is erroneous or inadequate. That's what David is talking about. Like, if our identity is not in the God and his attributes, because what progressive Christians have done is they've created their own image of God, mm-hmm. right? And they don't think the Word of God is adequate. It makes no sense. It's erroneous.
And
but,
it comes.
But the identity that they embrace out of that personal creation of identity is not from God. If it's not from God, where does it come from? Well, we know the source. If it's not from God, Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Right.
The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Yep.
That's the foundational statement that I wanted to make about understanding those who perpetrate evil are not in Christ. And therefore, their lives do not reflect what God intends the life of a believer to reflect. Their life is going to be identified ultimately with evil. Acts of evil.
And we need to be holy, right? It says that yeah. we need to be holy because he is holy. Mm. That's what it says, I believe, in Hebrews 12:14. But I just want to get into the subject of holiness, back to holiness, because what that really means. Okay, so the Hebrew word for holy is kadosh. You guys have all heard of kadosh. Mm-hmm. But the Greek word is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, is hagios. But in both those cases, the meaning is separateness, of being set apart from that which is unclean. So like David said, if we are not set apart from that which is unclean, that's producing evil. Hmm. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
That's
well,
go
yeah,
ahead, Keith.
And he
yeah.
just, yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:17,
mm-hmm.
everything has begun new. Jesus has washed all the sin away from us, right? That's where that comes from. Everything has become new, and the sin is gone from you, and now you have a relationship
yes.
with the Lord. So it's the sin that separates us from God.
Yes.
Not right. not seeing the sin, not understanding the
yep.
sin,
right.
not thinking that you're sinning from in God,
mm-hmm.
okay? Which separates us from God, and it's not believing that you need Jesus to return to God, because Jesus is the one that takes away your sins.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. It isn't by, you're talking Paul, Corinthians.
Right.
And what did he say mm. when he left Mars Hill? Christ and Christ crucified. Mm. That is all I know.
Right.
And
yeah.
so it's the power of
right.
the Holy Spirit.
Because that sin was nailed to the cross.
Yes.
And then, yeah. you know, it comes when a couple of weeks ago, we were discussing the progressive Christianity, as you said before, Ren. And I brought up a church in Brooklyn, and I don't even know the name of it. I would love to get the name of it. But it's two women ministers
yes.
married to each other,
yeah.
okay, and who are saying that they're speaking the Word of God. Well, they're not.
Yeah.
You're not. It's as cut and dry as that.
Yeah, black and white.
And black and white. And we don't have enough of that going on.
Mm.
Because how can this, you know, we just don't have enough of that going on.
It's a slippery
Amen.
Slope.
Amen.
And modern Christianity, I'm sorry to say this, but modern Christianity, I have what, how many seconds left? We're producing
20 seconds.
We're producing a kind of Christian that is not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are using whatever you think is right and saying in the name of God. Two women clearly as ministers are clearly in the Bible it's wrong.
Right, because it's
but they
misunderstood
say in the name
love.
Of God.
And it's misunderstood love.
Yeah. And that's what we see a lot of in modern Christianity. It's not producing the kind of Christian we are supposed to be, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and calling out the sin that needs to be called out. Amen.
Let's take
a
break.
We're going to a break.
We'll be back in about a couple minutes. And welcome back to the last segment of A Biblical Response. As you may have discerned, if you didn't hear my opening comments, we reversed the order of our format today. So we're, instead of starting with what's in the news, we started with where we end up usually, which is going through the theological, spiritual, and scriptural kind of approaches to the issue at hand. And so that's where we are right now. And
that brings us to the school shooting.
Yes.
That is our topic that we wanted to.
Oops.
Oh,
well,
but we're being interrupted by a phone call.
So here we go. The call. Hey, caller, welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor David and Stephanie.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hey, Anne-Marie.
Good morning. God bless you for your faithfulness and standing watching on the wall.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment that absolutely the whole thing about the attack on the holiness of God seems to be that God is really trying to wake up the church because of the time that we're living in. We really know the time is so short. And I think what really is important for people in the church to understand, it's about the soul of the person that God is concerned for, and that when holiness is in the place, that's how real personal revival happens, and that breaks forth into, like, church and community. And I just thank God for a radio station that is speaking out on the biblical response, because as the other caller spoke of, that we have to be bold. Mm-hmm. I find it to be more and more, but I feel that more and more there's a famine and people are hungry, but we've got to open our mouths and we've got to do our part, as Jesus told us, to look upon the fields always and see that they're ready. Mm-hmm. To be ready with the word. And God bless you all. Love you all.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. God bless you.
Thank you, Anne.
Okay, great. So
sorry
No. Go back to what you were saying.
What
then
spurred us to talk about holiness is we were talking, as we do every Monday before the program, the day before the program, we talk about what's going on in the current events. And the latest thing we wanted to talk about is this Minnesota school shooting. It happened just a couple of days ago on August 27th, right in the middle of the morning. Mm-hmm. And it was during their back-to-school mass. Mm-hmm. When a former student identified, it was a transgender woman, is what the news articles say, named Robin Westman, killed two children. And I think now it's up to 21 people who have been wounded. It's growing, unfortunately, mm-hmm. the number. Yeah. It was at a Catholic school in Minneapolis. And it was during their back-to-school mass at Annunciation. It's called the Annunciation Catholic School. And the woman, identified as woman, yes. Westman, I'll just say Westman, fired at people through the church's stained glass windows. Mm-hmm. Horrific, horrific.
His name was Robert.
Robert changed to Robin.
Biological male.
Yeah.
Again, identity issue.
Right.
And didn't check with God.
And so here's the question. How do we, as believers, talk into the grief and the unknown of how and why this person, it brings us back to the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. There is no other place. There is no other, even the cross, looking at the cross, it doesn't really give comfort to those who don't know him. So you have to go back to the holiness and the sovereignty of God. And it's a very hard thing to understand, because sovereignty isn't something we can truly explain. Mm. You can't explain it away. And so what? We set with these people. We set with those that are hurting. We become the Christian, the hands and the feet, in the moment that we need to be. But then when we get the opportunity, we get to speak into the holiness of God and who he is. And that's the only thing we can cling to when we're in this moment of sin, whether it be the shooter or whether it be the person who lost a child. The mother, I know she's running from things right now, the shooter.
Yeah.
She's running because she doesn't want to face what is going on. And I mean, it's a son. How do you know what she knows, what she doesn't know? And she's hurting. Even in what she's doing, I mean, it's not natural for this to happen in the way that this world was supposed to be.
Amen.
And so we're living in a broken world.
And when we talk about, and throughout the course of the program, one of the things we tried to do is to help you kind of see, understand evil. You know, we don't like to look at it, but we have to understand where evil is coming from. But even if we do have a complete understanding of evil, and we look at these acts and we say, yeah, that's really evil, and maybe go even deeper to do more explanation. If we don't ourselves turn to the holiness of God.
Yes.
See, that's for all of us. Certainly we want it for them. But because in the holiness of God, we encounter the fullness of God and all of his attributes. And we, because he wants us to participate, that's where our identity really is in God, the imago Dei, the image of God. Mm-hmm. And it's that, it's not, there's no, the physical part maybe, but it's more the spiritual part. And so we must then, in the holiness of God, return our gaze to these events through the eyes of God and how we respond. And so we may have started in anger, but through the holiness of God, we must respond in love, compassion, and an understanding.
And we do that out of the relationship that we have with Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and that's that's the question, because the mom, you know, where is the relationship with Jesus for the mother? Because the mother worked at the school or the church.
Yeah.
So she knows the Lord in some capacity. She knows that he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the son completely turn away from God and to allow that to continue to happen.
Those are the unknowns.
Those are the unknowns, I understand.
Yeah.
Right? But
and can God,
where is that? Yeah, how does that separation happen?
And how does God... This is the bigger question at the end of it all. How does God take something that is so ugly and turn it to be used for his glory
and for his good
and our good?
Romans 8. Yep.
That right there is the unknown. And sometimes we get to see it and sometimes we don't. And that's for our, I'm talking about my own self. You know, I've lived through a lot of things that have been pretty ugly. And yet God has turned them for good, for my good, and they were hurtful, and I didn't know how I was going to get through them. I mean, I've got things now that, you know, you just, it's like, how are you going to maneuver through this, and how are you going to identify what needs to be done, and all of those things. If I don't go back to the holiness of God, I have no anchor. There's no anchor.
And in this school shooting, people will blame God. And they will be mad at God. So here's a question that we need to all ask. But when we hear the word, when we hear God, what do you think of first? Do you think of somebody who's mean, like, I don't know, as you may see in the Old Testament? Do you think he's a loving father? Do you think he's a mean father if you had a natural father? We have to go back to how we really think about God. And if we don't think of him as this holy, holy God, where we're, you know, people in heaven are just worshiping him over and over and over. And if we see him as this man who, oh, look at what God allowed. This has nothing to do with what with God, with what happened. It's a result of our depraved minds. It's a result of sin.
And the free
will
that we have.
It's sin and the free will.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with God.
And the deception that continues to happen.
Correct, Keith.
Right?
Correct.
Jumping into people's minds and hearts and telling them, right, just as, and where did it start? In the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
Right? Did God really say that? Was the question that Satan asked Eve? Did God really say that you can't eat from that tree? Right? And this is what convinced her, because it was that was in the mind, right? Is God really saying that to you? So, I mean, it's just what are you hearing? What are you listening to? And, you know, we talk about this school shooting and how far he's got no relationship with the Lord. So if he doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, who does he have a relationship with? Because Jesus talks about the devil. So if you don't think that the devil is real,
wake up, Christian.
Wake up.
Because there is evil, and you know, so
we're seeing a lot more. I was sharing with the crew, you know, I've been praying for quite a while now for God to reveal all the evil and corruption in our government. And he's been doing it, if you'll notice. And so we're seeing a lot of that, more so than we ever have, at least in my lifetime, which is good. I think we're getting that. But it's also challenging and frightening.
It's challenging. And, you know, this might just get off, might take a small right turn here, but I understand. Stephanie brought up statistics for how many school shootings we had, or was that you, Ann?
I don't think we brought up statistics, but
shooting. Oh no, oh, not no. statistics, but
it was just naming the ones that had happened.
How many we had? What, 50 shootings in Chicago?
I don't know.
Oh, you're talking about what I said in Chicago.
Yes, yeah.
There's been about 55 shot in Chicago, dead.
Right.
This past Labor Day weekend. Right. I'm from Chicago, so I tend to always look at the news there.
And I understand being from New York. I do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed that in California, that they're trying to prevent President Trump from bringing in the National Guard.
The troops.
The troops, right? And Chicago's doing the same thing. The governor's trying to do the same thing to, and not restore order, but to continue to let the chaos continue. So it's just a question of, you know, in your relationship with the Lord, are you looking to continue to have chaos in your cities? You know, it's time that we need to speak up to come out and say something for the righteousness, which God, which is what God wants. God, let me see, how do I say this, right? Mm-hmm. No, it's the love that God looks to put out there. In the what did they do in Washington right now? It's been, order has been restored, right?
Yeah, in the city of Washington.
Crime,
right?
Yeah. Major crime has gone down to zero.
Right. Major crime has gone down to zero. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, creates chaos. So that's what's going on in Chicago, and that's what's going on in L.A.
It leads me to this verse, Hebrews 12:14, and this is in the NIV. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That holy is being set apart. We cannot be mixed in with the world. There is a call on our lives. And I think part of the reason why the Lord plucked me out of Chicago to Florida to slow down is to really, really, really be set apart and concentrate more on Him. As Christians, we could go all over the place and be in say we're Christian, but we're not even spending that one-on-one time with Holy Spirit and listening to His voice.
And sometimes
listening
we do
to His voice. Yeah.
I don't want people to think that we think we're perfect.
No way.
Hey,
no
not,
way.
Nowhere near perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I think Ann brought up a real good question. Who do we see God as? Who do we think? Who do we think whole, of when we think about God? Who is God to us? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
And I'm just going to real fast, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Mm. And that's who God is.
Yeah.
God is love.
I want to read a scripture before we go. We don't have a lot of time here. In Psalm 54, it says, O God, save me by Your name and vindicate me by Your might. Oh God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Behold, God is my helper, and the Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In Your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to You. I will give thanks to Your name, O Lord, for it is good. For He has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies.
Hallelujah. What was that chapter and verse?
That's chapter 54.
Psalm 54 verses.
It's all of 54.
It's all of 54. Okay, yep. Great.
Can I say one more last verse or no?
You can, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
the Word of God.
I know.
The highest authority.
I'm the only eyes on the official clock, so they're asking me questions. Sure, you have permission.
He's our clock keeper, producer. So. But this is what the Lord gave me last Tuesday, so a week from today. Psalm 27:8, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. When you said, seek my face, and in the parentheses it says, in prayer, require my presence as your greatest need. My heart said to You, Your face, O Lord, I will seek. When we seek the Lord, are we just doing our devotions? And like, it can get dry where we're relating to the Lord only in soul, but not in spirit. Are we demanding His presence when we are with the Lord, having an encounter from spirit to spirit? Many times you have to sit before the Lord and be quiet because you got to get rid of the distractions, but demand His presence, demand His holiness in your time of devotion.
Amen.
Sorry,
amen.
I really had to say that.
No, I'm glad you did. Okay. Well, you know, thank God we had the time. Our time is rapidly dissipating, which time has a habit of doing. You know, it's just here we start, we think an hour is a long time. It's not.
I knew this would not be enough time for this subject.
Well, it never is, but, you know, it does work. We hope, listener, you've gotten something out of today's program. And we've certainly enjoyed being here to serve God and to serve you. Hope you'll check in with us next week, same time and the same station, obviously, for the next iteration of A Biblical Response. God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.